Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Once in royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, the gargle was her little child. Welcome to The Gargle. This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. Your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Athena Kublenu. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Tiff Stevenson.
Hello. I've never questioned before why Mary is so mild. Why was she mild? She gave birth in a manger. She would have been f***ed off.
Yeah.
Massively.
Yeah, spicy Mary.
She got straight up her bum. Nothing. Yeah. It's like when you go to the beach you get sand up your back crack. Imagine.
Well, there's like quite a lot of pressure in the birth-giving process to be as chill as possible. And they're all like, you know, oh, bring candles if it'll make you feel calm or whatever. But I can imagine nothing that would make me less calm than candles in a straw-filled
let alone the fact that someone's bringing myrrh and frankincense and shoving them at you.
Yeah. Who asked for that? I mean, where's my gin?
Before we rig up our camels and follow the leading star towards this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of this week's magazine. The front cover is Jack Reacher from season 2 of Jack Reacher watching the 2 brand new hour-long Alice Fraser comedy specials now available on Go Faster Stripe as a £10 Christmas bundle. Which, topical news that. Breaking.
Yeah, yes. Very, very topical.
Al Jazeera, I've got a documentary on it, yeah. It's very good. Well,
the new Reacher is mad, like how wide his shoulders are. It's sort of gone insane. Like he was big dude in the first series, but now he's like double, like he looks like the Hulk.
In most situations, in most like media, I would be like, it is unnecessary for a man to be this big. But in the context of the Jack Reacher books, every third sentence is about how f***ing massive and jacked he is for no reason. Like at various points, it's just like, and I have an inexplicable genetic tendency to put on slabs of muscle no matter what I eat. Like it's like it is canon that this guy is unnecessarily large at all times. So
then played by Tom Cruise in the films. They're like, this guy's way over. What is he like? 6'4" in the books or something? 6'5"?
Yeah.
And built like a brick shit house door. And then
it's called acting, Tiff. It's called acting.
And also, okay. Tom Cruise has big dick energy. So it doesn't matter how small, but he's
he does
also
seem
like
big, a massive dick, doesn't he?
He's like, he's got big dick energy and big man energy. So inside of Tom Cruise is a hench dude. Right. You know? Yeah.
Yes.
It's scientific. I'm pretty sure of it. I'm not suggesting something. Anything other than that metaphorically, Tom Cruise lawyers. it's a metaphor.
Yeah, if you see his engram reflected on the wall, it's a bigger shadow than he should really cast.
Like, to be fair, if I'm watching an action film, I do want to see Tom Cruise in it doing his own stunts. So the biggest stunt of all is pretending to be 6 foot five.
The biggest stunt of all is doing all of the acting while standing on a box. I had a joke about Tom Cruise in my special Savage, which was up on Amazon Prime, and the lawyers sent me a message saying, are you sure you want to make this joke about Tom Cruise? He's like quite famously litigious. And the joke was that, you know, he runs very beautifully around corners and he goes at like a more acute angle than most other action stars because he has a lower center of gravity. And I was like, first of all, the joke won't work if I make it about anyone else. And second of all, a defense to the crime of libel is truth. And you can't argue with physics. The satirical cartoon this week is a cartoon of Legolas making toys on the North Pole assembly line. Legolas is saying, in my day, people respected elves. And then Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, is saying, there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. And Santa Claus is saying, have you guys ever thought of signing up for the lunchtime yoga and mindfulness classes? I've just noticed the AI tracker managers are telling me your pick and pack arm movements are a little behind schedule. Top story this week is dolphins jumping the shark news. This is the news of a dolphin that has been discovered smuggling some thumbs. Athena, you love speaking with our underwater brethren. Can you unpack this story?
Yeah, so we found some dolphins, just a couple of them, but they've got thumbs, and there's a picture of a dolphin with little peaks on their fins, and I can confirm those peaks are thumbs. And I, for one, am thrilled because I'm tired of cutting these things out of nets. It's like, do it yourself then. You've got thumbs. Here's some scissors. Do you know what I mean? That's just a lot of work. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're walking around, not looking where they're going. Well, not walking, obviously. I mean, it's walking if you call walking swimming if you live underwater. So let's just go with that. So they're walking around, they're walking around, getting trapped in these nets because we're trying to feed ourselves because we're humanity and we're humans. And because we have no respect for the food chain, we eat anything. And these dolphins are getting stuck in nets. And so we have got to rescue them. And now it's like, you've got thumbs. This whole time you've had thumbs. And like, we were buying dolphin-friendly tuna. Like what a waste. Very thrilled about this development, really, because they can start doing stuff themselves, really. All I've wanted is more animals have thumbs. You know, like, God, pandas and all these things that need our help. You know how many kids, you know how many animals could help themselves if they had thumbs? All of them, really. So this is a good, this is a great development for just conservation and by, you know, it's always bad news when it comes to like life on this planet. It's just great news. I'm thrilled for them.
We don't need the tuna to be dolphin friendly because now the dolphins can be friendly themselves with their thumbs.
Yeah.
I like that it's called dolphin friendly, but it's just like not friendly for the tuna. The tuna. This is fine for the dolphin, but the tuna is absolutely f***ed.
I mean, it's either just a rare mutation, or it is a sign that the dolphins are coming to get us in our dominant species role.
The one-upmanship. I think there's questions that need to be asked. Is it so it can hitchhike, join the Crankies and Fandabby-Dozy? Is it so it could be Caesar at a gladiatorial match? Is it so it can shout 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a thumb war? These are all possibilities that we need to investigate fully. I had a whole routine about this in my show last year. But it is about the fact that dolphins are viewed like they're amazing and sharks have had all the bad PR, you know? So, you know, the shark attacks were being rebranded. There was an actual campaign last year to say, sort of, can we rebrand these? You can't say that you were a victim of a shark attack. You have to say you were lovingly lacerated or that you experienced bitey wet times. And you're not allowed to call them prehistoric predators because it's a bit ageist. But yes, basically dolphins are the Prince Andrews of the sea. We're just throwing kids in there with no thought for what might happen.
Not only like not just like kids, it's like their last wish. Like that, I've got 12 months to live and I want to live with swim with dolphins. The most innocent of the children were thrown in with these predators. It's just we should have known. Like I got a letter from a dolphin once, but I didn't understand it. No spaces between the words, right? No bloody thumbs, right? Now they've got thumbs, they're going to be able to write letters like, we're coming for you, humanity. You know, at first we had no idea. Now they can be really clear with their intentions. Think about sharks, is they just want it, they're just hungry. So if a shark sees you and bites off your leg, obviously that's a real shame. However, the shark is hungry. When a dolphin sees you, it literally is saying, I want to wipe you out. I want you all to go. You know, so I don't, what do we do? Do we say we want an animal that wants to eat us because it wants satiation? Or do you want an animal that wants to literally take over the world? They want to take over the stock markets. Have you seen the movie Leave the World Behind? Have you seen it yet?
No.
F***ing dolphins, mate. The whole time I was like, it's just dolphins are behind this. Honestly, basically, no spoilers, but the world will end and it's dolphins.
Well, I've never understood the urge to swim with dolphins that people have, because if you're swimming in the ocean, you're swimming with dolphins. It's just a matter of how far away they are. Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by wood. Sure, garlic can kill a vampire, but can you sit on it? Maybe you can make a house out of bricks, but can you set them on fire? Why use different things for different things when you can use one thing for different things? Wood, multi-purpose tree bones. And letters are slower and less practical than emails, and that makes them more personal. So logically, wouldn't something even slower and less practical than letters be even more personal than that? Show that special someone how much they matter with actual snail mail. Tiny messages written on actual snails. And you love half a glass of water, but don't you wish it had the delivery convenience of a dead bird? Now it does! Just hold an empty glass out the window when it's raining and half a glass of water will fall right out of the sky like a starling that's lost the will to live. Half a glass of water. We're taking credit for the weather now. And when his son goes missing, this father will do whatever it takes to find him again. Or he won't even notice. It's basically impossible to tell in this new live-action reboot of the heartwarming classic Finding Nemo, now starring real fish. No real fish were harmed in the making of this movie, or they were, but as a society, we've basically agreed not to think about fish feelings, because that way lies madness. And if you're needing last-minute Christmas ideas, you can give or receive the gift of the gargle. Go to thebuglepodcast.com/donate to get an ad-free version of this and all other Bugle podcasts, along with some special exclusive treats. By the way, when I say ad-free, I mean the real ads, not these ads. These ads will continue. You cannot pay me to take them away. There's no amount of money that will remove them from this podcast. You can help keep the gargle alive and thriving by supporting us at thebuglepodcast.com/donate.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now it's time for universe news, and apparently scientists and science communicators have agreed that we need to stop telling people that the universe is a meaningless void. Tiff Stevenson, I can't stop you telling everyone that the universe is a meaningless void. Can you unpack this story for us?
Sure. I need to stop doing that with my vagina as well, just while we're here. In really not news, many science nerds aren't really good at interpersonal communication or personality stuff or how they get their messaging out there. So it's the Copernican principle, which is, you know, bloody Copernicus. If in doubt, blame the Italians. One essential function of science communication is to mobilise people to act against some of humanity's most pressing problems. So they've given COVID or climate change as examples. However, in this article, it says, unlike most people, scientists and science communicators often tend to think humans are, in a sense, nothing special. This idea is known as the Copernican principle. So it's talking about paradoxes in science communication. So though science doesn't deny the importance of human happiness and societal function, we would not expect a physicist to modify their theories of cosmology to make them more psychologically meaningful. So the two great paradoxes that they're giving here are the science communication struggles with is we live in a number one, we live in a deterministic world without free will, yet we must choose to accept science and prevent climate change, and we must act now. And two, the universe is destined to end in a dead, freezing void, and life has no meaning, but we must prevent climate change so our planet does not become a dead, overheated void, and we can continue our meaningless lives. And I think the second one should be a new live, laugh, love sign for your kitchen. And that would work really nicely. Yeah, so basically it's a communication issue. It's trying to get people to care about stuff, but ultimately saying that humans aren't important in the grand scheme of things. And it, you know, it's just kind of leaning into that thing that science is depressing us. And I've always thought, like, science and technology, for that matter, should be able to excite as well as depress us, or at least excite us first. You know, like, wow, the earth is not flat, followed by the knowledge that humans are forever cursed to move in ever diminishing circles. Or, cool, gravity stops me flying off into space, but also holds me down, man. Oh, look, a sex robot, followed by the crushing realization of your own loneliness. Or, space tourism is finally being realized. Yay! With all the worst billionaires, you know, leading the charge. Boo! There you go. So you want to feel excited first before the disappointment sets in. So it's about scientists finding that line between how they communicate what's pressing and urgent without, like, really bumming us out, to use an American phrase.
Well, I feel like this is just a matter of focus. Like, it's, it depends on which science facts you put next to which other science facts. Like, you know, you could have sometimes dogs make friends with ducks. Also, the universe is a meaningless void and we're all going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you, it's the balance of these things that we need to focus on. There, you know, here's a dolphin giving you a thumbs up. Maybe we can prevent climate change. Because he can pick the trash out of the mouths of the turtles. I don't know. I feel like this article has specifically put, like, the two most upsetting things next to the two most urgent things, and that just makes you feel stressed out and like you're not doing enough to save the world. But I feel if you're talking about, like, you know, more exciting and pleasant things, like ants that can feel love, that might make you feel a little bit more positive about recycling, you know?
So I don't agree that humans aren't special. Like, you can't just say the universe is massive, so that means we're not special. It literally doesn't make any sense. Like, those two things aren't connected. Like, just because it is massive and ever-expanded, but we invented jelly. Like, come on. Like, there was no need to invent jelly, right? Why don't we just make this thing and it's kind of translucent and it wobbles? Like, we did that. We did that out of our own. So what could be more special than that? Or there's loads of things that we've done that are special. Like, I once had a friend who could give herself her own French manicures. Do you know how hard it is to give yourself your own French manicure? You've got to put you've got to do the border thing, and you've got to paint your the edge, like, you know, meticulously white, and then you've got to do the pink bit, and then you've got to do the overcoat, and then you've got to have that patience in between each layer to wait. No, that's special. Do you know what I mean? You've got the Sistine Chapel, and you've got a person who can give herself a French manicure, and you're saying that person isn't special. That's, you don't get to do that. Like, yes, it's ever expanded, it's infinite, we don't know what it's expanded into, but at the same time, like, you can get vegan DMs now. Like, no one had to do that. So I just sort of think it's a bit it's just a bit negative to say we're not special because the universe is, maybe it's the universe that's not special. We're great, but the fact that it's infinite and ever expanding, I mean, there's so much of it, it can't mean anything. Why are we bothering?
Have you thought about a career in science communication, Athena?
Yeah. Well, I just thought about jelly there, and you just described it, but you left out one key element because you said it wobbles, but it also wibbles.
Oh, wibbles as well. You know,
it wibbles as well. You know, like, let's not forget the wibbling in all of this. I feel we've forgotten the most important point, which is the wibbling. It wibbles, wobbles, wibble, wobble jelly on a plate.
Do you not remember in the
80s? I don't know the rest of that.
do you remember when you used to get, like, yogurt jelly? It was called Set Yogurt.
He used to get it from B-Jams. And they used to give that to us. No, just wild. And you'd take it out of the pot and it'd just be solid. Weird.
Yes. Yeah, and I love that you've referenced B-Jams because I just feel like going back in time.
It sounds like a horrifying British invention that they've done, and they've fed it to you as children as a way of like telling you that the world's a horrible place. That's not a thing that I've ever encountered. Jellied yogurt.
It's called set yogurt and it was grim.
Ready, set, yogurt.
B-Jams is now Iceland because they want you to know everything's frozen, but B-Jams sounded cooler.
Yeah, because it's like B-Jam.
yeah, there's some, we B-Jam in here. B-Jams.
And now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Athena, what have you brought in for us this week?
Oh, okay. I don't have it here, but I'll describe it to you and it'll blow your mind. It's like a serving dish, and what it is you put 3 tea lights in it, and there's a little metal cover that goes on it, and you put food on it. So when you entertain your guests, okay, they can be given food that is warm. But get this, all right, doesn't bloody work. It's 3 tea lights. You can't. But well, what happens is if your friends are like mine, your friends are always late. So when the food is cold, it's like it was warm an hour ago.
Sounds like a recipe for 3 soot marks on the base of your plate.
Exactly. You know, more porcelain or whatever my stuff's made out of that can't be cleaned. It's not porcelain. Whatever Wilko's makes their stuff out of, that's what it is. Anyway, so it's really good because it's really important when people come to your house, you look like you're entertaining and that you're trying to entertain in a very sophisticated way. But the reality is you're not really sophisticated. I'm not great at entertaining, but it's the thought that counts. And it costs a tenner. So it's a tenner to serve food to your friends that isn't warm, but it looks like you intended it for it to be warm and it's therefore it's not warm anymore. 5 out of 5. 5 stars.
And Tiff, what have you brought in for us?
I'm going to review aging. I feel like I've maybe reviewed it even on here before, but it's an ongoing process and I don't like it. Like, I know that it's a privilege. I know that it is, but I found a grey armpit hair yesterday and I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, maybe get rid of my armpit hair, but I kind of like growing it in a little bit because it keeps me warm in the winter. And also, I've just got so many creams now. I've got one to get rid of wrinkles, one to get rid of spots, one to get rid of bags. I'm basically aiming for no face. I think that's the ultimate beauty ideal. So I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 stars because, yes, it is a privilege and it's wonderful, but also sometimes difficult to contend with. On yourself, on other people. I love it. I love it. I love watching, you know, the beauty of people's faces changing. Just not my own. It's confronting.
And now it's time for your literary scandal news. As you know, the Gargle is an extremely high-flown publication, and we deal with literature and tech and sport. And this is a breaking scandal in the world of literature in which an author who was lined up to have a very successful debut in the sci-fi fantasy genre has absolutely just tanked her own career by creating false accounts and review bombing other authors who she felt might be competition. Unfortunately, in addition to this being a very politically bad move, most of the authors who she review bombed were people of colour, which has added an extra special flavour to this particular version of career suicide. Athena, can you unpack this story for us?
I can. So let's check this out. Scandal rocks publishing as debut author is linked to fake Goodreads accounts that review bomb peers. I didn't know you could get a fake Goodreads account. I thought Goodreads was the one social media thing, space, where that was free from this kind of f***ery. And I'm a little bit shaken by this because I thought it was wholesome. I thought it was like the Waltons. You know how no one had sex in the Waltons? No one had sex in Nuthouse on the Prairie. No one, people barely had sex on Quantum Leap. Do you know what I mean? This is the kind of thing that I could put my child in front of this and they'll learn life lessons and not be exposed. And I always thought that about Goodreads. But it's not the case. Her name's Kate Corraine. She writes sci-fi, the most wholesome of all the genres. This isn't like chick lit. Do you know what I mean? She's not. This isn't historical fiction. I know that we know they're all at each other's throats. This is sci-fi, which is supposed to be a community. So she's gone and invented lots of kind of fake accounts, and she's written. She's gone and found books that are kind of similar to hers, and she's decided to invent fake accounts to then review other books poorly, which makes no sense, because I don't know anyone who read a book and liked it so much they thought, I liked it so much I'm never going to buy another book again. Like, do you know what? This is the only book I'll ever need. Oh, I heard Kate Corrane's got a book out. Well, I'm not going to read it because I just read this really good book by someone who's quite similar to her. So I'm not going to read her book. Like, surely, if you want your book to sell, you go to all the other writers who've written similar books and you say, this is the best book ever. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to read every book that's just like this, because that's kind of how genre works. So what a f***ing idiot.
Stupid woman. I mean, what a f***ing idiot is probably the headline of this piece, because one of the reasons that these fake review accounts were discovered to be fakes was that they all universally ranked Kate Corrane's book 5 stars and everybody else's book badly. Among other things, one of the people whose books she review bombed, which is to say gave 1-star reviews to from a number of accounts. One of the people who she review bombed was someone who'd given her a positive blurb on her book. It's shaken the sci-fi community. It's shaken the Goodreads community, as you say, the final frontier of integrity in the social media space. And it has shaken the Raylo fandom from which Kate Corrane emerged, which is to say the online fan fiction community writing Star Wars fan fiction about Rey, the character who's like in the new Star Wars film, and Kylo Ren, who's the baddie in the new Star Wars films. And by new Star Wars films, I mean like 14 Star Wars films ago, there's been like heaps.
Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver.
Yeah, Ridley and Adam Driver. The people who write sexy fan fiction about Daisy Ridley and Adam Driver are shocked to their core at this turn up. After a number of successful transitions from fan fiction into books, including things like the Twilight series, it looks like fandom has reached the apotheosis of drama and sadness. It's a real downer for those of us who spent a lot of our teen years reading bad fan fiction.
Am I the only one that's up for a literary scandal? I just think there's not enough of them since the Bloomsbury set started all banging each other. Like, bring it on. One of the reviews that she left, which was just, it's so, like, petty, because what it seems about, it's attacking people who are with the same publisher. And this seems to be over, like, money, because there's one on Molly X Chang's book that says, I can't believe Del Rey, which is the publisher, spent $500,000 on this when they could have spent $500,000 on anything else. Sorry, not sorry. The sorry, not sorry at the end is like, kind of like, I'm just an online, like, this isn't me, fellow author, slagging you off. So it's like, that's because you didn't get $500,000. And it's your debut novel. So maybe this person has got form and that's why they got $500,000. So it kind of feels so. Also, her book is called Crown of Starlight and it just sounds a bit porny. Like, I feel like it could go in the Men She Wrote lexicon, or even, you know, I feel like he heaved himself irregularly into a Crown of Starlight. It's just you know, it's Men She Wrote or it's Dancy. It's right in there. And then it sort of says that the author claimed it was a friend who specifically targeted everyone else that was vaguely in competition with her. But I think the self-sabotage of doing it to someone who's provided a positive. And also the amount of time and energy, rather than just like making your own publicity campaign for your book, like, you know, or making your own work exceptional, you've gone away and spent the time to set up a bunch of all accounts to just slag off other people's. It's such a low vibration. I hate to sound all hippie and crystally, but it is. It's such a low vibration.
It doesn't feel like the best use of your time.
you know, with two-factor authentication, it's not easy to just be setting up accounts. You've got mobile phones pinging everywhere, text messages, more emails, sign into this account to confirm this account, to confirm what that account is, now sign in again. Google alert, like, could you imagine even, I can't manage, I have two email addresses, okay? One for my junk mail, you know, and one for, like, you guys. And that's hard, that's stressful. This woman has got so many just to slag off writers on Goodreads. So I hope the Goodreads community docks her and, you know, really show... Because I believe all good communities do have a dark side, but you've got to scratch on the surface to kind of reveal it. So I hope that they really go in on her. Let's get dragging. Let's get the literary community dragging this person. Let's get on the news at 10.
I mean? I'm pretty let's sure make they it a have big thing. Dragged it. She's lost her book contract and... basically her reputation has been entirely destroyed. I feel like she's been sufficiently punished, which I think is sad because she has inspired me now to go on my very little used Goodreads account and then just pick like dead authors from 100 years ago and like go in hard on the 1-star reviews for like Proust. Like, what is this dog shit?
It's such the way of like, because you tend to take these to heart, but oftentimes people more likely to go online and do that kind of thing when they don't like something. Like people just, if they enjoy something, they go, oh, I enjoyed that, and then get on with their lives. But when people don't like something, that's when they feel the urge to go online and put that comment under your YouTube clip or your, you know, I used to say about the YouTube clips, you should treat them like the portaloos at Glastonbury. Don't look down because it's just shit upon shit upon shit. And then someone's mobile phone. That they've dropped.
My favorite trolley interchange was somebody who wrote under one of my YouTube videos, I don't like her foreign accent. And I replied to him, which you should never do, but I replied, I think you'll find you're foreign. And he replied, what are you talking about? Which made me very happy. But let me be a little bit sappy and in the Christmas spirit, can I say to all of the listeners of The Gargle, as an antidote to this terrible thing being done in the world, because it is kind of sad and depressing, go out and just praise something that you like. Go out and give a 5-star review to something that you enjoyed but didn't think to put out some positive energy in the world, because it feels like the right time of year. Icelandic volcano news now, our final story for today. Bear in mind that this is a breaking news story, and in that circle of breaking news that says exciting volcano near major infrastructure, nobody dead, so we can have fun with it. But of course, that circle is dangerously close to a Venn diagram in which it overlaps into heartless Anthony Jeselnik laughing about tragedy too soon territory. So all I have to say to the Grindavik volcano is three things. One, please stay picturesque and awe-inspiring without veering Pompeii wards. Two, please tell me how to pronounce Grindavik. And three, I apologise in advance if this story has suddenly become a really poor taste segment. Tiff Stevenson, you periodically explode along a 3.5-kilometre radius. Can you unpack this story?
Well, I actually have a deep theory. I'm not even going to say conspiracy theory because it was in my show, but... do you remember spontaneous human combustion from, it was big in the 80s. It was actually, because it was always women, they were always old, and it's just women who got tired of sexist shit and literally self-immolated. It was always like knitting needles and like a Zimmer frame in the shot and a charred handbag and shit. So I feel this volcano could be the combined rage of like perimenopausal women across the world or specifically in Iceland. Just like erupting in just like rage and injustice. It says apparently that the volcano could die out by the weekend. So there's a volcanologist. They exist. And that is not the same as being really into Star Trek. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, okay. It's really good.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's erupting really unemotionally. I get it.
He said the eruption had slowed down from its peak, could abate in the coming days. And then he goes on to make comments about fissures, which makes me uncomfortable because I didn't realise they were connected to, I've only ever heard them referred to in an anal sense. The scientific term of a fissure is never really in my orbit, but like anal fissure, you know, you have a poo, maybe there's a little bit of blood. You don't know what it could be. That's the automatic assumption. Also, it's put in the sentence, Mr. Thorderson believes the chance of more openings from the fissure are small.
Oh, God.
Well, it's sort of an exciting volcano because normally you think of volcanoes as being sort of circular and contained, but this one is like along a very long crack, essentially. So it's got this extraordinary sort of visual effect to it. If you've seen any of the footage of this, and if you haven't, please treat yourself to the awe-inspiring sight of the Earth breaking. Just breaking, you know. Didn't know the Earth could do that. I mean, except in the sort of slow motion car crash that is climate change sort of way. But yeah, just that there was some ground and it just went shit, and then started spraying lava out of itself, which is a fun thing to do.
I can relate to the ground, but I think every this is obviously a natural disaster, but every disaster gives and presents us with opportunities. Okay. Hear me out. And Netflix, if you're listening, write this shit down. The floor is lava. Extreme. Okay? Because the floor is actually lava. Okay? And people, if... So you just... I'm sure there is something that lava doesn't consume. Right? Well, you know, I don't know what that might be because it's notoriously hot. But there's something. And then so you make these little pillars in the lava. Okay? And it's like Takeshi's Castle, Squid Game, and the wall. But the floor is lava. And the floor is actually lava.
This is where we send our defunct right-wing politicians to redeem their public reputation.
Exactly. Could you imagine just Boris hopping from pillar to pillar with actual lava? Like volcanoes, they're not like erupt like on demand. So we've got to film this stuff when we can film this stuff. We've got to do it now. So let's just do it. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is dead, it's done. So now it's like I'm a Celebrity, the floor is actually lava. I mean, come on, guys. This is just too good an opportunity to miss. And no one's died, so we can do it. It's fine.
I like that pitch. It's different to my pitch, which was the floor is lava, but with dicks. And that's just more like being a woman in the model world. You just got to avoid all the dicks. Every single opportunity, you've got to navigate them.
Well, I'm really for this because what I've seen so far is extremely beautiful footage of the volcanoes that has been collected by amateurs, mainly accidentally flying their drones too close to the heat and melting and losing them in the process of collecting this beautiful awe-inspiring footage. And the fewer drones there are flying around beautiful sites, the better. So I feel like we should send everyone there with their camera footage. They'll have their moment of viral fame and there'll be that many fewer drones in the world.
Yeah.
Also, this does say, how often do you get this headline where it says glowing magma seen from the sky? You know, we all want to see a bit of glowing magma. As long as no one's hurt, let's have a bit of glowing magma.
Yeah, eat the earth, that's what I say. Yeah. I think the Earth should reclaim itself from us via lava, and Netflix should film it.
And that brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Athena, what have you got to plug?
What, at Christmas? You've been asking me that question. F***ing hell. genuinely, I can't plug it because it's been announced in January. So I've got to plug something that I can't plug until January. And no, Tiff, when I say plug, stop thinking of my butthole. Yeah, I saw your eyes light up. Oh, you've got a plug sort of thing, have you? Just, no. Yes. Okay. You're thinking of my crown. My what was that? My
crown of starlight.
Crown of starlight being plugged. No. Something else. So that's very, it's lovely, but you're going to have to find me on some of my socials. It's like, literally, it's the last, it's Christmas. Like, am I going to plug? Who are you talking to? I'm off for the next 2 weeks, mate.
Well, Tiff, have you got anything to plug?
I would just plug my social medias, probably, because that will list all my upcoming shows and stuff. Also, there's a video of mine of Michelle Moan trying to explain what money is that I just put out. So if you're in the mood for a bit of Michelle, then go find that on my Instagram, Tiff Stevenson Comic.
Well, I have two specials out now as of today. They are at Go Faster Stripe, and that is Kronos and Twist. I recommend watching Kronos first, because by the nature of time passing, Twist sort of has spoilers for Kronos in it. But you get them at Go Faster Stripe for £10 for the pair, And if you do not want to pay that amount of money, sign up at my Patreon at patreon.com/AliceFraser, and they will be available there for free in a month. So that's patreon.com/AliceFraser. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again, not next week. I think we're having a week off next week, but the week after. Bye.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.